tongue to the place, to the one who raised from the dead. Oh, come and see the risen King.
Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you this day as I share with you the things of the kingdom of God. It is my hope that in sharing, you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you find life through the name of Jesus. Hello, this is Misty Reese, and I would like to welcome you back once again this week, and I want to get started preaching to you the gospel. If you've been listening for any amount of time, you know where we find that, and we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I want to begin in verse 1 because I always think it is important what is said in those beginning scriptures. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And here is what I received, and here is what I preached to you. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That gospel is the power of God. That gospel is the ability of God. And we shared about that and talked about that the last time. If you look in Romans 1, you will see who that gospel is available for, who it's going to work in. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's where and who it's going to work for, to those that believe that gospel, that stand in it, that trust in it. Well, today I would like to get started in Philippians, and I would like to talk to you about Jesus. And one thing I never knew, I never considered, I had no revelation of, was that Jesus was just like you, Jesus was just like me, in the sense that he was a man. And when I began to understand that, to the degree that I had, it made things seem so much more attainable. He did not give us anything that we can't do. He set up everything for us to be able to walk with him and to walk in the power of God just as he did on this earth. So let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And I want you to consider this, and this is talking about Jesus. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was made just like you and me. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he was a man. He still is a man. But he was a man just like you and I, walking this earth and having to work out things and consider what God was saying to him. And I've appreciated that. It's ministered to me and it's helped me in my walk because he is my example. Jesus is your example, and there's not anything that he hasn't gone through. He understands where we're at. He understands when we hurt. He understands everything about us. He's been there. If you remember not too long ago, we also looked at that. We looked in Mark 14, where he was going to have to go to the cross, and he knew it, and he didn't want to go. He was a man, just like you and me. God was instructing him to do something, and he had to work it out. He had to pray through it, just like you and me. Let's look at Mark 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John. And he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. That's Jesus speaking. His soul was exceeding sorrowful. And he brought people with him to pray and watch with him. He was having to work out what was getting ready to happen to him. He was a man, just like you and me. Verse 35, And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, now look at this, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He is praying to the Father, if it is possible, let this pass from me. Do you think he was looking forward to what was coming? Verse 36, And he said, Jesus said again, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He asks the Father to take it away from him. Take it away from me. He was a man, and he knew what was coming upon him. But if you remember what we read in Philippians, it said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus had to humble himself to do what the Father was instructing him to do. He didn't want to do it. He said that, take it away from me. But he had to obey God. Just like you and me, there are things that are going to come upon in our lives that maybe we don't want to do. And I've shared that before, but we have to humble ourselves and say, not my will, but thy will, and do the Lord's will. And we're going to have to work it out. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I have been there many times. And there have been times when I have gone to the Lord and I don't know if I can do this. And I have to keep praying until my faith begins to work and I know that I'll be able to do it. But I'll be able to do it by the grace of God, by keeping in memory that gospel, by looking unto Jesus and him being my example and understanding what that man did. And that I will have to do the same thing. I will have to humble myself to obey the will of God. Let's look at Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, a man, just like you and me, humbled himself unto the death of the cross, prayed, Father, remove this cup from me. But he had to do the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but what thine will. And now he's crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look at Psalm 22, and this is Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was a man on the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He's talking to the Father in heaven. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and they were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. It talks about in Isaiah, he was despised and rejected. Verse 7, All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, and they look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. He was crying out to the Father, and you know what? God was going to hear him. He went to the cross for you and for me. He went to the cross to take on all of our sorrows, all of our pains, all of our hurts, all these things that we walk through. He took it on his body, all of that, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. Here's a song now called At Calvary. It is a beautiful song ministered here by Terry Brown, along with her family, Philip Brown, David Brown, Daniel Brown, and her daughter-in-law, Luann Brown, along with Paul Peters.
Crucified, knowing down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was both in life to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, and now I've given to Jesus everything.
I shared with you in the beginning about Jesus being a man and how he is our example and how he had to obey the Father. You know, there's a will of God for all of our lives, and we are going to have to believe the gospel. We are going to have to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, so that he can direct our paths, so that we can get those things that God has for us, that we can walk in those places that he wants us to be, so that we don't walk in our own will and end up in trouble because we thought we knew better. You know, Hebrews, let's look at that. Hebrews 4, verse 14. It says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sins." There's not anything that Jesus has not experienced. He knows what it's like. He knows where we're at. And that's why we can call on him. That's why we can trust him. You know, I hear people say, and I see it sometimes, "I don't have anybody to talk to." You know who you talk to? You talk to Jesus. "You don't know how I feel." Jesus knows how you feel. Talk to him. "You don't know what I've been through." Jesus knows what you've been through. Talk to him. You're going to have to get to that place, because there is nobody in this world, no one, that's going to understand you, know what you mean, know how you feel, know where you've been, except the one who was a man and has walked through it his own self. And that is the Lord Jesus. I'd like to share with you some very hard days, but also some precious moments that it brought forth in my life. There was a time when someone said to me one day, I don't remember their exact words, but they said something like they thought I had taken my believing or taken my faith too far. They thought I was too caught up in believing Jesus. Well, you know what? That caused a big thing to happen in my life, because it caused me to really be an outcast. I became an outcast to many that I loved dearly, to many that were a part of my life. And when that was said to me, no one understood what I was attempting to believe. No one understood the confidence that I was learning to trust in the Lord. And you know, it's a hard place when someone you love very dearly says that to you, that your believing has seemed to get in the way of everything else. So Misty had a decision to make, and Misty had to be put in a place that there was no one else. So everything that I knew, everything that I trusted in, everything that I loved, every place I would have ran was taken away from me. And that was just the beginning, because there was still one person left, and that was my husband. We moved 1 year, believing it was God, and we moved to a bigger city. And we were there, I don't know, maybe 7 months. You know, you'll find out if you believe these scriptures or not. My dad worked in a grocery store, and I remember he talked about there were cherry pickers that would come in the store. And so I asked him one time, what's a cherry picker? And he said, well, cherry pickers are the ones that come in the store and they pick out what they like, or they pick out what's on sale, and then they go to the next place and they do the same thing. And then they go to another place and they do the same thing. They basically go around picking out all the good things that they like. Well, I have to say, I've probably known some of those people that are cherry pickers when it comes to walking with Jesus. They only pick out the things that they like, or the scriptures that they like, or the things that make them feel good that they like. Well, you know what? He didn't make me to be a cherry picker with Jesus, because God put me in some very hard places, some places that people don't like to talk about, and some places that people might say, oh, I don't know about that, Misty. But if you're honest with yourself and you read the things that people had to walk through in those scriptures, you will find out there are the really great things and there are the really hard things, and there's no in between. And so I found myself in one of those places. I was in a job that was very overwhelming at the time, and I was barely had my head above water trying to survive and believe God all I knew how in that job. And everything has pretty much changed in my life. I've become the outcast. I've become not part of anything. And so here it is, me and my husband. And then one day, he wasn't there any longer either. One day, he became in one of the biggest fights of his life from an attack of the devil. I was unable to go and talk to him about my problems. I was unable to go and cry my heart out because of how I was feeling. I was unable to go and say, this is what happened today at school and I don't know what to do. So there became no one. All I'm having to do is try to believe. Every time I get on here and tell you something, it is because I have walked some places where I've had to do that. It is because that's all I have come to know, and I know it works. Here I was, by myself, alone. There wasn't anyone to talk to. There wasn't anybody to cry my eyes out to. There wasn't anybody to work a problem out with. You know who was left? You know, the only man that was left to talk to, which is why that had to happen that way, was Jesus. That's the only one that was left to talk to. I talked to the Lord Jesus. And you know what? One day, these words were spoken to me by the Lord. And if you look in Psalm 27:10, and I was sitting in a chair, hurting, my heart was breaking, and the Lord spoke these words to me: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Do you know, that was life to me. And I held on to those words that day. And I've held on to those words for years. And that's exactly what the Lord began to do. I learned how to go to Jesus. I learned how to go to the Father, the one Jesus went to, the one Jesus prayed to, the one Jesus said, "Remove this cup from me if it's possible." I went to the Father, and I went to my friend Jesus, the only one that was left. And do you know, that was where I began to get confidence built that Jesus hears me. The Father in heaven hears me, and they know where I'm at, and they know what I'm walking through, and they know my heart is breaking, and they know I don't know what to do in this situation. That's where I went. And the more I cried out to the Lord, the more He began to move on my behalf. And I would cry out to Him again, and He'd move on my behalf. And confidence began being built in me to where I didn't need to run to everybody else, to where I knew where to run to. And you know what? When my confidence began being established more and more, then years later, those other things began gradually working their way back. But Misty had to get her heart dealt with. Misty had to get to the place where her eyes weren't on anybody but the Lord Jesus. You know, it speaks in Matthew chapter 10, and these are some hard verses for people. And that's why I brought up about being a cherry picker, because you can't take Jesus means and or what Jesus says in one thing, oh, but He doesn't mean it in this part, or pick out those good things. Look at chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, there are many things that God has required of my life, and I don't complain because I know what was required of Jesus. I know what the Father required of Him to walk in the things of the kingdom of God. And cherry picking it ain't going to cut it. And there are some things, some places that God has put me in. And it has built a confidence in my heart, because there are days that are coming on this earth. And you know what? I rejoice for those days that I walked through that ripped my heart out. I cried my eyes out. I hurt. But you know what got restored? You know what started filling up my heart? Jesus. You know what started filling up my heart? Confidence and faith toward the Lord Jesus. Faith and confidence toward the Father in heaven. Because if God could raise that man out of the dead and deliver him, and Jesus crying out to him, and the Father heard him and delivered him, and He is my example, do you not think that He, the Father, would not do the same for you? Do you think you might have to lay down your life? That you might have to cry out to the Father? That you might have to go to Him and say, "Not my will, but Thine, Lord," and do it? I thank God for those days. And I thank God for where I'm at today. You know, when I left my last position in teaching, someone that I very much respected and someone I very much thought a lot of because they had become a friend, and I was able to share with them to some degree what had happened over the course of those years and share with them why I was leaving teaching. And they said to me, they said, "Misty, don't ever let anyone try to move you off of what you believe." This last song I would like to share with you is called "Who Am I?" And it is ministered here by Terry Brown. I encourage you to consider what I've said today, and I pray that God direct your paths, and I pray that God gets you where He wants you, and you learn to call upon Him, and you learn to trust Him in your life for every situation, just like I have.
Think of how He came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. Come and Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will, Thine, Lord? The answer I may across He'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of His words, I'll leave Thee never. If You'll be true, I'll give to You life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will, Thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross He'd go, for who am I? That to an old rugged cross He'd go, for who am I?
Thank you for joining me today. I would love to hear from you. You may email me at MistyReeseWaterOfLife@gmail.com. That's MistyReese, wateroflife@gmail.com. Or you may write to me at Misty Reese, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086.